Well, good morning, everybody. And welcome to everyone here and online. I think it's great to be gathering here today to worship God. Now, I have a couple of notices which I'm hoping I'm going to remember. Where's David? So he can always wave his hand at me. Right. The first one is to say thank you to people who prayed for Messy Church yesterday. That's good. That's one. And the second thing is it's the church meeting on Tuesday, 7:15 for 7:30. That's the second one. So that's good news. We're on a good starter. Anyway, it is lovely to be here today. And as we have some guests with us, you are very welcome. We hope you enjoy your time with us. And if you get lost in anything, just ask the people in front or behind, and that's fine. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians 2. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Hebrews 11. And with that reassurance, let's put this time into God's hand in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, you are worthy of all our praise and thanks. You understand absolutely everything and everyone. Change doesn't faze you as it can us. Thank you for giving us the gift of faith through Jesus Christ. Help us to have confidence in the truth that you will do something in our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to leave all that we've been dealing with throughout this morning and yesterday and to focus on you. Lord, please accept our worship. You are our gracious God of life. Amen. Well, you can sit or stand, whatever is most comfortable for you. We're going to praise God in song. We're going to sing first, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then we're going to move on to, "Lord, the light of your love is shining, and as the deer pants for the water." So please stand to sing. Approach God's throne of grace with total confidence. So let's pray. Wonderful God, you are faultless. Your purity and love makes you shine with the brightest of pure light. Your love for us is never ending. Thinking of you, we realize, oh dear, we have done, thought, and said some unkind and thoughtless things. Jesus, you taught us to say sorry to God in order to bring peace between God and ourselves. You, Jesus, ensured we would be forgiven. So, trusting in your mercy, we say sorry. Please forgive us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust that we are forgiven in your grace. Grant us the gift of a growing faith and relationship with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as part of our worship, we do actually have an offering that we take now. If you're a visitor with us, please don't feel any obligation to contribute in this way. Let us pray. Oh, wonderful God, you give us so much. In times of change, you are always there You also give us big and small blessings, and we thank you. You're always with us, and we thank you. You support and hold us, and we thank you. So, Lord, we ask you to accept these offerings. We ask that they may build up your people. May they spread the word about your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and the eternal future that lies ahead. So in grace, in mercy, accept these our offerings. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, it would be really great if some children were to come up and join me here. Anyone want to? No. One, two, great, come on up. Three, fabulous. Come on up. Come on up. You don't have to, but it's lovely to have you here. Right, okay. Now, okay. I'm going to ask you a really important question. Are you ready for this?
Ears on, okay. You look very intelligent, so I think you're going to get this.
Do you think I'm a rabbit? Well, if I put my hands up like that, would you still think I was a rabbit? No. Definitely a no. Okay, what about a sheep? You know, woolly sheep? No? Even if I put this hat on, look, I love this hat. What about if I put this hat on? No. Oh, well, so I'm definitely not a rabbit or a sheep. What am I? I'm a human being, thank you. And that was just a lovely game, yes? I enjoyed it. It's the only excuse I get to put this hat on nowadays, okay? So, I'm going to say, does God tell us the truth? Yes. Absolutely all the time? Yes. Absolutely, that's called faith. Trusting that God always tells the truth. Yes? Now, what's your favorite color? Pink. Oh, I love pink too. Green. Blue too. Do you like blue? Oh, green, green. Well, I hope I'm hearing that right. Yes? Good. I like blue. I like white. I like black. I like blue. Pink. And purple. In fact, I have to tell you, I like every color practically, right? If you were to meet God, but God is here now, what color would we see? Well, let me give you a clue. If I told you that God always tells the truth, completely never does anything wrong, not even a word, doesn't play silly games, right? He has a good sense of humor though. Right? However, never ever does anything wrong. So actually, when you meet God, God's goodness is so bright. All we see is a bright light. There are other colors because God invented the colors. But we're going to sing a song. You can tell me if you know this one. We are marching in the light of God. Do you know this one? Very simple. That's all we do. And then you can march round and out if you want. Follow Angela. There she is. But before you go, look, I'm going to tell you, in the song we're singing, we are marching in the light of God. That means the light that tells us that God is with us. Does God ever leave us? No. Not even for a second. That's fabulous. Well done. Not even for a second. God is always with us. So we always have, can't always see God's presence. We can know that God is with us. That's called faith, knowing and trusting. And you've been fabulous. Let me pray for blessing on them. And then I think we'll give them a round of applause for being so good. And okay, so Lord, please bless all the children here and their leaders. And Angela, as she leads them out today and leads them even more into finding out wonderful things about God. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, are you ready? We are marching. Much marching, and who said God doesn't have a sense of humor? I love that. So I'm going to ask David to come up, please. And whilst he comes up, can we sing, "Thank You, God, for Saving Me"? So if you can stand, please do so. That's lovely. now going to ask God to work through David to touch our hearts. Loving God, we ask that you would inspire David, support him, grant to him all that you want for him now, that he may talk your message to everyone here, that your Holy Spirit would work through him, and to direct our focus onto you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Diane. Can I first say a word to those of you who are watching live online or the recording? We apologize for the quality of sound this morning. We believe it is due to interference in our connection between here and the BT Hub and Exchange in Torquay. And we trust that will be sorted out, I'm sure, by next week. So an apology if you're watching and have some gremlin in the sound. You might just be interested to know that every week we have a number of people who watch us live. It varies between 5 and 9, depending on whether people are sick or away on holiday and watching. But then during the week, a lot of people watch the video recording, and our average, and I asked YouTube, who we use to do our line work for us, who sent me the statistics, if it was really accurate, to which I got a very severe reply, "Of course it is, we never make mistakes." I thought, well, that's wonderful. But our average for the last 9 weeks of people watching combined live on Sunday and during the week is in the region of around 45. So it's a service that we are pleased to give for both those who are live and those who have the recording. Those of you that like to read the Bible, follow through at the Bible reading, might turn now, because I'm going to read a passage during the sermon, which is our reading. And it's in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, and it's page 216, 216, on the Bibles in the on the chairs. So just have that open, and I'll come to it in a moment. But if you look at the first verse, I want to explain something before I read it later on. For those of you that are following through in the scriptures, in the Bibles, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide?" No, in your version it says assistant. But in fact, the word aide is more accurate from the Hebrew than the word assistant. An assistant is somebody who has an authority, who can make decisions on behalf of the leader for whom he is assisting, while an aide simply does what he is told. And that is very significant. It changes the whole theology of a part of this passage. So one word, wrongly translated, can easily mislead us. So when I use the word aid, it means someone who was working alongside Moses, doing Moses' bidding and instructions. But we're not going to go there straight away, because I want to take you back to when the children of Israel were in Egypt as slaves. They longed and prayed to be freed, and at last God decided he would take them from slavery in Egypt through the wilderness to a promised land that would be flowing with milk and honey, a wonderful place. And you know the account in the Old Testament of how Moses led the people to the crossing of the river, with its wonderful parting, how they entered the wilderness heading towards the promised land. God gave them food, water, guidance, the Ten Commandments, and taught them how to live together as a community in the wilderness before he allowed them, 40 years after they left Egypt, to enter the promised land. And that's where we take up the story at the beginning of Joshua, with the children of Israel poised to enter the promised land. Before they did, Moses sent his aide Joshua with a number of others to spy out the land, and they came back and they were excited. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. And basically, that was a term then, and now it was prosperous, it was great. But there was a big but. The people there are ginormous. They're powerful. They've got big armies, got fortified cities. And you will recall a few weeks ago when I preached, we were there when they entered Jericho through the miraculous deliverance of God with the bringing down of the walls. And so the time came for them to enter. But before then, Moses had to die. And he did. And so we read from the scriptures this morning, in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I'm sure when the children of Israel eventually, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, when they reached the River Jordan, and God told them now was the time to enter the promised land, one thing it was going to do was involve a massive change from being basically nomads, wandering, depending on God to supply all their needs, dealing with all the challenges. They were facing a time of unprecedented change, both for them as a nation, for them as families, for them as individuals, and for Joshua, who was going to lead them through the challenges into the land and all the change that that would involve. And change is something that happens to us all. And change often causes everyone a certain amount of anxiety. That's inevitable when things change. We are anxious. We become very uncomfortable with the way things are looking because we become very comfortable with the way things are. And new situations can be unsettling and stressful. Generations change. Governments change. Leaders change. Circumstances change. Families change. Jobs change. Even churches change. When I think of when I was a lad in Ballam Baptist Church, the services were totally different. The world was different. We'd just come through a world war. And nobody knew what was going to happen. Now, change for the right reasons is good. Sometimes we must change in order to accomplish God's will. Sometimes to advance our lives, our family lives. Sometimes because of the natural order of things. We all look different now to when we were youngsters, teenagers. Change is inbuilt into the very fabric of the universe. And this passage in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, is all about coping with change in life by facing the future in faith. Facing the future in faith. In Israel, it was a time, first of all, for a new leader. And then for a new land to make their home. There was a very significant change. For 40 years, they had wandered the wilderness. And that had been their home. They had discovered how to be nomads. Refugees. Now they face a complete relocation to a new land with a new leader. A land where they would face enemies, giants and battles, where they would rub shoulders with pagans, where they would be tested in their faith, where they would have challenges that they had never faced before. It was going to be a daunting challenge and an almighty change. But right at the beginning, to Joshua, who was going to lead the people into the land, it must have been daunting. I can hear Joshua saying, "Really? Am I going to be the leader? Am I Moses' replacement?" Joshua must have quaked at the thought that he couldn't possibly measure up to his predecessor. Joshua must have remembered Moses' courage dealing with Pharaoh, Moses' determination as he led the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses' meeting with God at the top of Mount Sinai. Moses' confidence as he brought water out of the rock and food from heaven. I can hear Joshua saying, "I can't possibly do that sort of thing. Surely someone else will be a better choice." Do you ever say that when God calls you to a specific new job of service here in Paignton Baptist Church? I've heard it. It's natural. But if God chooses you and calls you to some specific task in life, in this church, in his service, there is never any good reason not to accept that call. As there wasn't for Joshua. He had no option. Or do you say, not me, I'm not good enough, qualified enough, experienced enough? And as we change as a church, and we are changing in many dramatic ways, and in need of new people coming out of the woodwork, as we say, as God leads and guides and equips and gifts. And if God has gifted you for some particular service in the kingdom, whether it's in this church, another church, if you're a visitor, or listening online in your church, wherever you are, if God calls, it is disobedience not to say yes. This is how God enters into making change effectively, by raising up those who are to be not perhaps the Joshuas at the top, but the many lieutenants that he had, and as we need in our church. For when God chose and called and appointed Joshua to this particular job, he says to Joshua in verse 2, "You and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan." And the reality of what was happening must have been overwhelming. The prospect of leading such an unpredictable, rebellious lot of people must have been utterly daunting. And God knew that. And no new task, or most new tasks, are daunting. Very few are easy. But you see, we discover here in this passage that Joshua could count on God just as Moses had, just as we can, for we don't do it in our own strength if we're called in any way to take part in the actions and activities of the local church or wherever. You see, their possession of the land was as secure now as it ever was, whether under Moses' leadership or Joshua's, because it is God's provision, and he is fully trustworthy and will be to us when and if we have to respond to his calling. As we enter through the natural challenges of change in our lives, so today we can live in the assurance of this provision of our needs as we change, as our church changes, as our families change, as our nation changes. And boy, is it not changing? Is not the world changing? And it can be a daunting and a frightening place. But God says, my friends, live in the light of this truth and revel in this promise. Abide in this promise and experience it to the full, that God will be with us through every change and provide for us. First of all, he assures us of many things in his provision for us. And first of all, he assures us of his provision. Verse 3, I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads. God renews his covenant, reaffirms his commitment, and restates his provision of the land for them to inherit. God spells out exactly the boundaries of the land he had promised them there in verse 4. So God, first of all, reassures us of his provision in change. Second, God reassures us of his promise. Verse 3, just as I promised Moses. God does not change. He's fully trustworthy. The very same possession promised to Moses, he now gives to Joshua. Just as I said to Moses, says the Lord to Joshua, I will be with you. Those must have been sweet words to Joshua. He had no reason to fear. Yes, Moses was dead, but Moses, God, was alive. And all the promises and reassurances and affirmations that God gave to Moses, he repeats to Joshua. Just as in the New Testament, Jesus promises to always be with us. Do we live in the light and reality of his daily presence in our lives to fulfill his promises in our hearts and lives? Joshua could. He could count on God just as Moses had, just as we can. Their possession of the land was as secure now as it ever was, whether under Moses' leadership or Joshua's, because it is God's provision and he is fully trustworthy. His promises are secure and he keeps them faithfully. So today we can live in the assurance of this provision for our needs. My friends, live in the light of the truth and experience it by the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, in this passage, God reassures us of his protection. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Any fears they might have are put to rest. They can go forward boldly. Any new situations they may face should cause them no alarm. They would be invincible and untouchable. No one could overpower them. And the promise was good for the rest of Joshua's life. God gave him a lifelong guarantee. There he says in the scriptures, as long as you live, Joshua, I will give you provision, promises to I will fulfill, and protection that will keep you safe. But thirdly, he assures us of his protection. Fourthly, he reassures us with his presence. Verse 5, I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Under Moses, they had been through, in the wilderness, what some people would call hell. It was very tough. But God had provided them with food from heaven, water from a rock, cloud to shield them by day, and a pillar of fire to give them heat and light and guidance at night. God had been faithful despite their unfaithfulness, and at times saying, take us back to Egypt, Moses. Take us back where it was, not easy, but better than this. And that very action by the people tells you how rough it must have been for those 40 years. But God says to Joshua, just as I have been with you for the past 40 years, so I will be with you in the future. I will not leave you or forsake you. The Israelites could go forward with the courage of faith in the God who never changes and who is always with them, the God who is always trustworthy and always keeps his word. So can you and I. So can we as a church as we move forward. As Stephen would say, and build bigger barns or face whatever may come in the days ahead. For when God orders us to exercise the courage of faith and move forward, he provides all that we need through his presence. We discover his provision, his promises, his protection. And also, fifthly, he provides us with encouragement. Three times God repeats the same words of encouragement to Joshua and the people of Israel. Be strong and courageous, verse 6. Above all, be strong and very courageous, verse 7. Be strong and courageous, verse 9. And you know, when anything is said three times, it's very important. And these words were vital, because we all need encouragement, especially in times of change and uncertainty. We need encouragement, especially in those times when we are fearful of the future. What's going to happen now? How is it all going to work out? How long will it take? We all need encouragement. And we all need affirmation that what we are doing is good and appreciated. This was an intimidating task for Joshua, leading this ragtag bunch of refugees from Egypt, this fickle group of rebels who might oppose you at any moment. How would you feel if you were now Joshua, plucked from being Moses' aide to now taking his place? It takes strength and courage to face any task in our own lives, in the life of our church, or our job, or our country. But we have a God who provides, and he provides us with his encouragement. I have called because I have equipped you, and I will never leave you or forsake you. And all of these 5 points that you see on the screen now are reiterated in the New Testament. I could keep you here till gone midday by going through them, but I'm not going to do that. We've heard it from the Word of God in the Old, but in the New, Jesus, and particularly Paul, reiterate these 5 things that we, in our age and in our changes of life, can know just as Joshua did. Because our strength and courage are not in ourselves, but in God. Faith in the God who is all-powerful and fully trustworthy. Faith in the God of Moses and Joshua. Remember, their God is our God. So we finish, we recap and remember that the courage of faith is rooted in God's provision. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot will tread. God's promise, just as I promised Moses, says God to Joshua, I keep those promises to you. God's protection, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. And that goes for us today. God's presence, I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. And that's true for us in our lives, in our changes. For God always completes what he starts. His word is infallible and unfailing. That's why you and I can be strong and very courageous as we face the challenges of change at various times in our lives, in our families, in our country, in our church. But only through the courage of faith can we face the future confidently in the times of testing and change. Isn't that wonderful? I find these verses in Joshua so special for the age in which we live. Let us pray. Our Father God, as we look back over our lives since we gave our hearts to you in repentance and salvation, as we look back over the ways you have directed our paths, and given us work to do in your kingdom, opportunities of earning living, growing a family, coping with singleness. Father, as we look back, we can say thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to orchestrating in our lives as they have changed in the past. The things that were right at the time as we obeyed you. And you have promised that we can know the same for the present and the future, whatever that future may hold. Yes, Lord, there are times when change frightens the life out of us, when change doesn't fit happily in our experience because of our past that we've got so used to. And so we do pray as believers and as a church that you will perhaps never make us comfortable with change, but let us see it as in your will when it is, when you clearly direct, when you move us forward, when you challenge us, when we go through stressful situations we can do nothing about and life just changes around us or in us. Father, you've promised that your Son Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, will be there, pivotal in our experience. And we thank you for the comfort that gives us. We thank you for the encouragement that gives us. We thank you. And as the apostle, your apostle Paul said, oh, we revel in it, knowing that in the midst of it all, unlike the heathen or the pagan or the unbeliever, we need not fear. For you are with us every step of the way. You are gracious. You are loving. You are kind. You're committed to our best. Help us, Lord, to walk with faith, the courage of faith that trusts God wholeheartedly and wakes expectantly to see what you will do in our lives, our families and our church in the days ahead. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to sing Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. And then it's over to you, Diana. Thank you, Andrew.
Please sit down. Let's come before God and thank him. And then there will be a time of silence for anyone who may want to pray for something in particular or just in your heart. Whatever feels right to you, let us pray. Oh God, thank you that you chose to always love us. Thank you that you chose to be very patient with us. Thank you that we can trust in you, that you always want the best for us. Thank you that you chose to be our refuge and our rock when life goes out of balance and changes. Hear our prayers now for others.
And if you feel it's right to pray, will you just raise your hand so I can bring you a mic so everyone can hear what you say in prayer to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you for that encouragement this morning that no matter what's happening in our lives or the lives of those around us, you are there with us. You protect us. You grant us your blessing.
Amen.
And it wouldn't be right if we didn't pray for our pastor and friend Stephen again this morning, Lord. We pray that he and Leslie will have enjoyed a relaxing time together. And Lord, we are trusting in you for that miracle of healing. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I'd just love to thank you for the time we've had with the children upstairs, looking at how Isaiah predicted Jesus' birth and the wonderful names he was going to be given. Lord, the children have engaged so much this morning, and I just thank you that they have accepted and learnt a bit more about you. Amen.
Amen.
If I may just pray again for Ukraine. They've just had all these hits on their energy infrastructure from missiles and drones. Father God, it's such a great evil that's been inflicted on Ukraine. And I pray for you to deal justly, bring justice to everybody who inflicts suffering onto innocent people in that way. I pray for the hand of the Lord to come upon them and to sort this issue out according to your own wise and just ways. Also in light of the Justin Welby incident, the bishop has had to step down. I pray for church leaders everywhere to have the integrity to admit their mistakes when they fouled up and gone wrong. They control the narrative from the pulpit. They must have the integrity to admit when they've gone wrong, because a lot of people are affected. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Loving God, you have heard from our hearts, from our minds, from those things spoken outwardly. You have heard all our prayer. Lord, we think of all the people who are ill, those who are dying and those who are grieving. We think of the people who are lost and need you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, your grace, in your wonderful love of us and of this world, we give to you all that we want to give to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide us through the week ahead in what we are to pray for. Help us to listen to you, so that we may glorify and honor you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And we all say together, Amen. Well, I think it's time now to go out with joy and enjoy socializing, as we do after the service, that we can go out in joy, Because God has heard, and God is 100% trustworthy. We can go out in confidence. But let's sing, "We Shall Go Out in Joy." Please stand. Blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us all, now and forevermore. And we all say, Amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you.